Our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 10 and 11. And the Lord says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. About 10 or 12 years ago, I was on a flight coming from Germany back across the Atlantic Ocean to Nashville, Tennessee. And about an hour into the flight, there was a woman that was very distressed in her health. She was an elderly lady, was in a wheelchair on this airplane, huge airplane. There were, I think, 5 seats in the middle section and then 2 on each side of an aisle, so a huge airplane. And I had noticed this woman in the terminal before we got on the plane. She just looked very, very ill and had oxygen on and so on. And her breathing had been rather short. And they wheeled her right past me on the airplane as they were taking her because something was going wrong. And you could just tell as she went past that her breathing was very short. It seemed like she was going to die. And another flight attendant came about 10 feet behind her, and I grabbed her arm real quick and I said, "Just to let you know," I was sitting on an aisle, I said, "Just to let you know, I'm a Christian pastor, and this woman looks close to death. If she needs someone to come and talk to her, I can do that." She said, "Okay." And they took her up ahead. And within about a minute, there was a call that went out for any doctors or nurses on the plane. And a few people rushed up to this kind of center island where the food gets prepared, things like that. And then I noticed some of them came back and sat back down. And a couple minutes later, this flight attendant, same one I talked to, young lady, came walking back and was looking, turned out for me. And she said, "Are you the one that said you're a pastor?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Would you come with me?" So I went with her. And I said, "Is this lady okay?" And she said, "She died." And I was like, "No, you got me too late." But they took me back to this area, and here the lady's body was there, and they had a blanket over her. They now had to work around her, preparing people's meals and things. And there were 3 flight attendants standing there, and they were crying. It was very difficult for them to have to deal with this, having to work around this woman's body, and they were going to have to take her all the way to Nashville. We were only an hour out over at the Atlantic. And she said, "I feel like we should do some type of ceremony." And so I had a prayer for this woman's family, who was going to be meeting her in Miami, by the way. And then I said a few words, and I think I said the Lord's Prayer. Anyway, I went back to my seat. And about an hour later, the same flight attendant came to me, and she said, "We're really having a hard time with this. And that we're working around this woman's body, and we're just troubled by this. Would you be willing to talk to us after the flight is over?" I said, "Sure." So when the flight came to an end, everybody got off the jet, and I waited and went up to the front area, and there were about 20 flight attendants that sat down, and I had kind of like a chapel service like we do here, and I used a text and preached a devotion, and I said some prayers and things and pronounced the blessing. And some of these flight attendants were crying. It's hard for people sometimes to really be in the presence of death like that. But I remembered thinking to myself afterwards about this text. When God says, "My word shall not return unto me void, but will accomplish that for which I sent it." And my intent of how I thought God's word would benefit somebody was not God's plan, obviously, on that flight. But I've always thought it'll be interesting to get to heaven and to find out how in the world did God actually use his word that day, and who were the individuals sitting out there that may have been blessed through that, and that someday in heaven some of those mysteries may be known to us. Isaiah says, "The word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me void," God says, "but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God not only attaches himself to his word, but he attaches his will and his intent for how the Holy Christian Church is to be built and edified in the world. As theologians, we often refer to this as the efficacy of the word. It has an effective power. It's God's own effective power that works in and through the beautiful gospel. And you can see the power in that word of God, likewise, in many of Jesus' miracles. We think of Jairus' daughter, the young girl, when he says, "Get up," just those few brief words. And through the power of that, God's own almighty power over death causes her to rise up. Think of the healing of the paralytic when Jesus says, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." Right through that word, God accomplishes that. The night that Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they come and ask, "Who is he?" And he says, "I am he." And they all fall down in the garden, all of these people coming to arrest him. A beautiful picture of the power that God can place in his word at any time that he wants. The Bible that we have and the scripture lessons that we use in chapel and in our church services and things and in our devotions, the Bible is not merely information about God, the way you go and read a catalog to pick out something. The Bible is God in the sense. God is his word. He attaches himself and his almighty power to that word so tightly and so closely. When Moses was called upon by God to go and stand in front of Pharaoh in order to have him let God's people go from Egypt, Moses was afraid and terrified to do this. And yet God says to him a great line. He says, "I will be in your mouth. I will be in your mouth." And that's how it is when God's word is taught and proclaimed in its truth and purity, and when it goes out into the world, God is in that word itself, causing things to happen. Now, to impress this truth upon us, Isaiah draws upon some beautiful images. The one about snow seems pretty fitting right now. He draws on these images of snow and rain that come down from the heavens and water the earth. And through that, God causes the growth of various things here on the earth. When a farmer has a good harvest of corn in his field, he doesn't go up to the ears of corn and praise them. He should praise God who gave the seed and the nutrients in the soil and the rain that caused all of that to take place. And so it is when it comes to those who have Christian faith here in this world. We don't go up to the heart of the person and say, "You have been a wonderful thing to become a Christian." It has nothing to do with us. The power is in the word of God. God's word that comes down from heaven, that enters our hearts, convicts us of our sin, causes us to cling to Christ as our Lord and Savior, causes us to love the forgiveness of sins that he's given us by his death on the cross, and to look forward to the resurrection of our bodies. All of that spiritual activity that gets worked inside of us is credited back to the work of God and not to the work of man. Jesus said, "The words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life." The words that I am giving you to preach and teach and believe in, they contain that very spirit and life from heaven. And that's why Paul said as well that there are various preachers in a congregation who may have done different aspects of planting the seed and watering it and fertilizing it, but God ultimately is the one who gives the increase. Now, it's necessary for God to attach this power to his word, because without that power, we would remain dead. We properly confess with Luther, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." Isn't it wonderful to know that the very faith inside of your heart right now that loves Christ, that appreciates him, that looks forward to going to heaven, that that's an activity of God in you, and only God in you? What a wonderful thing. And because of all of this, because of the importance in that word of God, that is why the devil hates it. That's why your and my sinful flesh push against wanting to hear and believe in that word of God, because it is such a tremendous gift and power from heaven. And so, let us not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Today we use the collect for the word. You'll find it on the front part of your hymn book on page 86, the front portion, page 86. It's at the bottom of the page, collect number 3. Please join me. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, unto your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word, as becomes it, may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.